Hello everyone and welcome to the latest Wolves Fancast episode. As always, a part of the 90 Minute Network, along with our sponsors Pixel Yay Media, the Sports Shop Kings Winford. On today's episode, I've got with me Dan Butler at DB Butler Analysis. How's things going, Dan?
Yeah, good mate. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Still riding the Bruno ball wave, as it is. Obviously another good win again on Monday. What was your sort of thoughts on the game?
Yeah, look, first off, I think we took advantage of a pretty poor Everton side.
Decimated by injuries.
Yeah, look, they were, absolutely. But I don't think that takes away from the performance, to be honest with you. Like, we were that good. We controlled the game, limited them massively. Then second half, we just do what we always do and drop off an extra couple of yards and not pressuring the ball in the same way. I'm still not convinced by some of Bruno's in-game decisions. I think you probably take Trincao off a little bit earlier and you probably don't take him off for Pedence. You probably stick Dendonka in the middle and try and get a bit of control there. But look, I'm nitpicking, really. It's another good win.
Yeah, there was an article in the Express and Star today where I think Liam Keane or another journalist may have prodded Bruno in regards to his sort of late substitution making, and he pretty much said he didn't want to sort of change the dynamic of the game, and sort of looking at Wolves more of as a defensive unit in regards to set pieces, having a bit more height on the pitch. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's a strange way to say it. I mean, obviously there's the Portuguese and English barrier, so maybe he doesn't get his point across as he wants, but you sort of do want to change the dynamic of the game at that point, because the dynamic of the game was, we all knew what was coming. When Iwobi scores, like, obviously he's going to score because he always gets his customary goal against us. When he scores, were you surprised? Like, we all saw it coming.
It was a definite momentum change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In any game of football, if a team's winning 2-0 and the opposition team get a goal back, there is a momentum change, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And so that's why I'm surprised by him coming out and saying that, you know, you don't want to change the defensive dynamic there. And I get it, because back line-wise, it's very settled now. I don't see Marcel getting back into this team now. But midfield-wise, we looked not leggy, but we were getting outrun there. And I didn't expect Fabian Delph to have that much of an impact, but apparently he does. But look, I see both sides of it, and ultimately we've won the game. But I think, yeah, going forward, it's something that will probably need to be addressed in terms of when we make those in-game changes and how it happens.
What did you make to Max Kilman's performance again today? Obviously, we'll take a quick look at the goal here.
Yeah, I saw Cody was, I think it was it Cody came out and was saying they've been giving him a bit of stick because he's so tall and he should be scoring more of them. He's deserved it, to be honest. He's been probably, along with Saar, probably player of the season so far. And, you know, pre-season, you never expected him to be this much of an integral figure in that back line. And now look at him, you wouldn't displace him for anyone, really. Bolly can't even get back in the side at this point.
It's borderline ridiculous how difficult it is for Bolly to make his way back into this defensive unit, but a lot of that is due to the form, obviously, Kilman and Romain Saïss. How impressive you've been with Saïss from a defensive point of view this season?
Yeah, do you know what? Defensively, still worries me. You saw, I think it was first half, and that ball comes to him. He tries to clear it on his right peg, and he slices it and he lets Damari Gray through. And I'm thinking, Christ, here we go again with Saïss. But look, I think it was Gully that put something out on GTA talking about progression from that left side. And Saïss is the most important player we have in that sense. He picks a pass better than anyone in that back line, progressively. Cody's always got the plaudits for it, as Gully pointed out as well. But it's actually Saïss. It's always been him. He threads the lines much better than anyone else does in that back line. And that's something that Bolly's never been able to do either. So, you know, that sort of asset is important to have in that area of the pitch.
I think it's important for our listeners to be aware that obviously Gully does a weekly analysis show over on our YouTube channel. It's one of the most insightful videos you'll find from a Wolves channel, as far as I'm concerned. Just give you a brief little snippet here.
From the game, you can see that we're just making a little bit more advancement and inroads down the left flank than we would on the right-hand side. And there's a reason why that is the case. For a start, I think, you know, a lot of commentary around Romain Saïss's position within the team. I think when we haven't necessarily been at our best, he becomes quite an easy target to suggest to be replaced. Now, we all know he could probably be improved upon as a defender, but if I take you through his game from a possession perspective, he's pretty much the best left-sided centre-half in the league. Now, if you look at this this pass map from Saïss from yesterday's game, you can see he's making plenty of penetrative passes into the final third, and this is evidenced when you have a look at the number of passes into the final third across the Premier League so far this season. The only other Wolves player that features is Ruben Neves, but next to him, fourth in the list, is Romain Saïss. I think that's a lot of the reason why Willy Bolly isn't necessarily back in the side at this point.
I mean, the stats for Romain Saïss have been mightily impressive, haven't they? Obviously, leading Morocco in the African Cup of Nations in January. How much of a blow do you think that's going to be, losing Saïss, who's your sort of ready-made replacement for that? Bearing in mind, we're not going to have the window open for, I think, a couple of games before we have to go down that route.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think there is one. I think you almost have to adapt the way we start to build up through the different thirds, really, because we won't have that player on the left-hand side of the three to progress the ball like he can. You've got Kilman, who's left-footed, but he's probably better on the ball in terms of dribbling and confidence-wise. But when it comes to passing, I don't think there's actually anyone in that back line who can replicate what Saïss does from where he does. Because obviously Cody is just no way ever going to play on that left-hand of the three. It's always going to be central. And it's like I said, I think it's a case of adapting. I think it is worrying. I think we've all said it, you know, all on Twitter about what we're going to do centre-backs wise for those couple of games. And even when the window does open, you're not going to get someone in straight away. It's about adapting, really. I probably sound like a manager, but that's how it will be, you know.
There doesn't seem to be sort of an academy defender that's really making strides to take in that sort of place in January at the moment. Is obviously we've got Deion Sanderson out on loan at Birmingham, who could be recalled if we're desperate. Obviously, I think he has played in a three. Was he in a three at Sunderland on loan?
Wrong no person to ask. I haven't paid attention to Sunderland for a long old time.
No, I don't think it's anyone's free time to be using Worsley that sort of way. The only sort of thing for me, unless Bruno's hand is forced and he has to go into a back four, is putting Den Donker at right centre-back and moving Kilman over to the left.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea in terms of if we have to do it, because I don't think there's any chance he goes to a four at this point, and especially when we're that short of centre-backs. Den Donker, you either love him or hate him. I wrote a piece on him and felt that maybe like a right centre-back position could be him in the future. But it certainly wasn't something that I was 100% comfortable with, and it's also a lot to ask him to come in and immediately adapt to a defensive line that's quite settled.
I think obviously having the same sort of names, we can just both agree on that. We implore Fosun that they need to get some players in January. It is massive. One sort of area on the pitch that we don't need to be looking at replacing straight away is our centre forward. Raul Jimenez got his 50th goal in the week. What was your thoughts on his performance, and in particular that finish?
Do you know, the finish was unbelievable. You'd expect nothing less. He's calm in front of goal. He always has been. There were doubts when he came over his goal scoring ability, because his record wasn't that much, much to write home about. But you don't doubt him in those situations. The way he dinks Pickford as well, sits him down, you wouldn't expect any less. But for me, it was his all-round game against Everton more than anything, because they were quite deep that first half. They were quite negative, and what it needed was players like Jimenez to come deeper a little bit, show for the ball and move those defenders and that block around a little bit. And when he did that, you know, five, six passes later, you see the space that's opened up as a result. I think that's what he brings to the team. And I think that's, as much as I like Fabio, I think that's the difference you see between him and Jimenez. Fabio last season, very stationary where he was, stayed central, and he'd get bullied quite a bit, let's have it right. He'll grow from that, obviously. But the difference with having someone like Jimenez is intelligent enough to take up different spaces on the pitch. And he doesn't need to have the ball to make an impact. And I think that's what's most impressive for a striker.
Some of the more visual things I've noticed in Raul the last couple of games, he does seem to have a bit more zip and acceleration, where I felt like the first like sort of few games of the season, he was sort of just rebuilding his fitness after having so much time out. The big thing in regards to the finish past Pickford for me is that I thought he took too long to get his shot away. Yeah. Obviously, Pickford came out, made himself big, but just the dink was something out of a Bob Ross episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? I thought the same thing, but it's that extra bit of time that he gives himself for Pickford to go down too early, and he can just put it over him like that. And you know, if we're on a football pitch, we'd probably smash it right at Pickford in panic, you know, but he's, you know, just different like that, thinks differently, thinks much more clear in those situations. He can do that.
Before I let you go and enjoy your evening, before I pull on our Crystal Palace fan correspondent, Benny Esther, what's your score prediction for the game on Saturday?
I'm going to give them the respect they deserve, to be fair. They look a decent outfit under Vieira, and there's players in there that scare me. Not too worried about Zaha, famous last words, obviously, but players like Elise and Edouard, they look useful. Gallagher's a totally different player to what he was at Albion. He's allowed to have a bit more freedom going forward now, and he looks a proper threat. Do you know what? I'll go 1-1. I'm going to go conservative 1-1.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight game on Saturday. I don't think it's going to be overly high scoring. Dan, as always, thanks for giving us your time this evening. Hopefully we'll catch you soon.
Thank you, mate.
Right, it's going to get our Crystal Palace correspondent. Anything so nice in your life, Ben?
How we doing, mate? Right?
Yeah, good. Are you?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Oh, it's been a while.
Are you still sort of glowing in the win of Saturday, or did the train journey back still ruin the day?
Nah, to be honest, it wasn't just that one day, was it? I come back on Monday. So I was meant to come back on Sunday, but they just ruined the trains completely. So I thought, oh, I'll just have another night out. But no, nothing could have stopped that, man. That was unbelievable, that.
What? How have your sort of preconceptions of Patrick Vieira changed recently? Obviously, the form table at the moment, Crystal Palace won one of the last five, but drawn four. Big win against Man City on the weekend.
It doesn't really tell the full story. To be honest, when he first come in, I didn't disagree with it. To be honest, I would have had anyone that weren't Hodgson, to be fair.
When we last spoke, you'd sort of... you come to the end of your tether with Hodgson, and yeah, you appreciate the work that he put in, but it needed a new change of path, didn't it?
Didn't like football at all. I just rather lick a wall match days rather than watch that. But no, when he first came in, I was like, I'm just open to it. I know, like, he didn't have the greatest record with New York. To be honest, the Nice record didn't really worry me at all, because we were going to go and get Favre. But like, he'd finished a spot below Vieira did with the same Nice team. So I was kind of, like, a bit open to it, like, let's see what happens. I don't think our squad is bad enough to go down with any manager at the moment, to be honest. I think there's always been three worse teams in the division than what we are. So yeah, I was just like, we've got to take a risk. Otherwise, you're just going to keep going and get defensive managers to try and stay in the league every year, which is not what I wanted. Then, to be honest, it seems like it's working, mate.
You say you would have taken any manager at the time. What was your sort of feelings when your club was being linked to Nuno?
At the time, I was kind of like, yeah, I could be down for it, because you've seen what he's done at Wolves. But I mean, in hindsight, I'm glad we missed it. I'm definitely glad, because I'm pretty sure the main issue was he wanted to bring all his backroom staff. And it's going through what he's done at Spurs, I imagine he brought all his backroom staff to Spurs. And then in the space of, 10 games, they've now got to not only get a new manager, but a whole backroom staff as well, which would have been a pain for us. But it's more the loyalty to the backroom staff that we have.
Yeah, the obviously the funds that Tottenham have on their disposal compared to Palace's extravagant, isn't it? I think Nuno maybe took somewhere like maybe five or six of his coaching staff with him, and there's only two that didn't follow. It's like, it's a big upheaval, isn't it, for a club of Palace?
It's a lot, and it's a risk as well. I mean, it's last time I was on it with you, you weren't even his biggest fan at that time, were you?
No, I think we got to sort of the same sort of mindset of view, where we appreciated what he'd brought to the club, but the football wasn't great to watch in the end. Obviously, he'll pinpoint the loss of Raul Jimenez as being pivotal to why the football wasn't as entertaining as it was, but I think it did come to the end, and I think Wolves allowing him to be released via mutual consent and not sacking was the nicest thing they could have done for the guy. If anyone's got anything different in the comments section, let us know. Last time out at Crystal Palace, Abiriezer, I got the winner in a 1-0 win. Bit of a rocket shot from edge of the box past Patricio. What was your sort of thoughts on that game, if you can cast your mind back?
To be honest, I'm pretty sure that whole game was kind of like, it was a 1-0 game written all over it. It just could have gone either way. Really was. And it took a bit of moment of magic from a player that if we didn't have as well as Wilf that season, then it could have just gone completely different. But no, to be honest, I would have been happy with a draw any point in that season at all, just against teams around us. A win is a bonus at this point. But
Patrick Vieira has been nominated for Manager of the Month for October. But I think Bruno Lage would have won that in a landslide if the Monday's game against Everton was in October. What's your sort of feelings in regards to Vieira getting Manager of the Month? Do you think he's deserving of it?
He deserves it, but it's a curse. So in a way, I'd rather him stay away from it. But to be honest, if he did not conceded the two last-minute goals, then the record just completely spins on its head. It's a great record as it is. Having a win away at City is probably more than enough anyway for anyone to win an award and not losing for the whole month. But to be honest, who he's up against, I wouldn't be too sad if he didn't get it, to be honest. I know David Moyes has just been absolutely smashing it for West Ham, which is fair enough. Liverpool and Chelsea at the end of the day, don't they? So probably would be David Moyes, to be honest.
Yeah, as you can see in the form table there, obviously Tuchel and David Moyes, both 5 games, 4 wins, 1 defeat. Chelsea with that sort of 7-0 against Norwich, that makes that goal difference look a bit more nicer than probably what they deserve. What's your thoughts on the England squad that came out today? Obviously, we're a bit disappointed that Max Kilman hasn't made it in front of Tyrone Mings, but obviously Mark Gray, your guys, probably was within the shout, as well as Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, he dropped him in the press conference, didn't he? As Southgate said, it was him, Gallagher, and someone else, I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's just boring, isn't it? It's just the same. Every single time there's a selection, it is just the same. It just seems like it's a bit of a boys' club. It's a bit of if you're friends with a manager or if you're in, it's more like, oh, I can't let my friend down, rather than actually getting people in who are on form. Because the only two I'd really say from Palace that are in kind of in for shout would be Gallagher and Guehe. But I can understand reasoning. If you want to say keep the under-21s strong, then that's fair enough. But if you're actually basing it on if you want to win a game of football, I don't know how Tyrone Mings is even in there anyway, to be honest. There's it's not even just my centre-back. You've got Ben White, hate to say it, Lewis Dunk, probably put at least another two or three more that are better than Mings. He doesn't even start for Villa.
Yeah, I think there's a few Wolves fans that would say Connor Cody's maybe a bit lucky to still be in
the England squad. I think it's more just like, you know, he's probably been around the camp and he's quite friendly with people like that, and he's probably a nice bloke, so that probably does buy him a bit more time.
We got a comment from Ron Lippitt in the YouTube channel. What it must feel like to be a Palace fan, the Cleveland Indians of the Premier League.
No clue what that means.
No clue what that means. I assume it's maybe like NFL or whatever.
Some of these rogue blokes that stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning watching American sports. I'm not that guy. So I wouldn't know.
Obviously, we're 10 games into the season now. Is it 2 wins, 2 defeats, 6 draws?
Yeah.
How far this season do you think Vieira can take this Palace side?
Sky's the limit. Absolutely. I don't even think we need to get any people in January, to be honest. And that's the first time it's been like that for quite a while. It's just a case of new manager comes in, you've got to wait until, you know, the players get used to him, installing a philosophy that's come from very, very defensive to now constant pressure play on the front foot. But we've had those players. Our squad has always been a squad that's not really too good defensively individually, but we have had good attackers. So I don't know why we've been defending this whole time. As soon as we've come out of our shell and started actually playing football on the front foot, we've been smashing it. I can't really remember a game, apart from Chelsea, first game of the season, that I was like quite underwhelmed with how we played. But we didn't have Gallagher for that one game. So probably he's one of the main catalysts while we're playing like that. But no, every game we go into, I mean, we just beat City at the Etihad. I don't see us not being able to win a game if the cards fall on the day, you know?
Yeah, it's all about being competitive, isn't it? Just week in, week out. There's no easy games in the Premier League. How did you fare when you came up against Newcastle? Obviously, Wolves beat Newcastle in sort of recent games. Wolves won 2-1 that day. But how did your game go against them? Newcastle have always been an awkward side for us in the Premier League. Well, we've played six times up until recently. We've drew every one. So.
Really? They're one of those teams. On paper, you should absolutely slap them. Exactly. But the way that we're playing football, I can see it in that kind of game. I was like, okay, fair enough. If a team comes five at the back, we find it a bit harder to break down. We like teams coming on to us because then we hit them on the counter. But they just were literally five at the back. I'd probably say nine at the back and just hoping Saint-Maximin did something, which, to be fair, got him a quarter and got him the equaliser. But I mean, I tried to look at it as with the least amount of bias as possible, and that is one of the worst refereeing performances I think I've ever seen at Selhurst, hands down. And I don't know if it's dodgy dealings or just the guy couldn't handle the pressure because of all the takeover stuff, and he kind of felt like he had to give decisions their way. But it's all little tiny decisions, and it's quite hypocritical like the whole way through. The VAR goal should have been disallowed, to be honest. He is pulling his shirt. But if he's going to pull up fouls for corners and you've got to be consistent, then their goal should have counted anyway. So it's a bit nitpicky. I don't know. But we could have helped ourselves a lot more. There was a lot of wasted chances. Benteke had an open goal near enough, one-on-one, that he put past the post. But to be honest, performance was still there. So I'm happy with that.
We really came unstuck against Brentford early on in the season. Did you guys lose to Brentford?
No, we drew 0-0 and we should have won.
Right.
And to be honest, it's another game that we had a really good performance in because they come on to us. And we had chances to put that game away. Should have been probably about 2-0 if we took our chances. Conor Gallagher hit the bar in about 3 minutes. But they did have their fair share of chances as well. But I remember walking away from that game just thinking, how have we drew that kind of thing?
Did they have many chances aside of their time wasting? Was it really bad when you played them?
Oh, it's awful. It's really bad. But it's like it's 0-0 in like the third minute and the keeper's taking ages to put the ball down. You're just thinking
their
like,
goalkeeper changed his goalie gloves in the first half. That's
Raya.
how badly they were time wasting. It was shocking. And
it was bad, man. Throw-ins, just everything, the lot. But what I love doing is when teams do that and you go 1-0 up, you see it change quite quick.
Yeah, they start sprinting for throw-ins and substitutions happen quickly. Let's quickly get back to our game on Saturday. There's plenty of players that I could say is I went with the Neil Emblem derby. There's a few players there. Bakary Saka, Wayne Hennessy, George Ndard, Jamie Smith. I mean, some of those players before you were even born, Brenner probably got Kevin Muscat, Simon Osborne, Dougie Friedman. Is Dougie Friedman still at the club?
Yeah, he's, what is he, director of football? He's basically the one that does tap up all the players and gets all the transfers sorted. And to be honest, ever since he's been in that job, the players we've got in are just ridiculous, especially for like the business we've done. Nathan Ferguson from West Brom.
£900,000 in a tribunal now. I mean, that's
a good It's ridiculous. He hasn't played a minute of football for us, but they wanted £11 million in January. Couldn't decide on a deal with us, so we just said we'd leave it. He's out of contract at the end of the month. We just picked him up. Simple as that.
Oh, well, I'm all for anyone fleecing West Brom. So
yeah, no, exactly
on that one.
But I mean, just to touch on Dougie Friedman, I think for the last three seasons, the young player of the year in the Championship signed by Palace at the end of the season. So you had Elise, Eze, and Ferguson, which just kind of shows the way that we're trying to, you know, take the club.
That's a solid foundation for any recruitment, isn't it? Just pickpocket the best Championship players. You just mentioned earlier how informed Conor Gallagher's been. Obviously, the ones that I picked to watch were Wilfried Zaha, Wilfried Zaha's got 2 goals and 1 assist in his last 3 home games. And Conor Gallagher's performance away at Man City, 5 ball recoveries, 2 interceptions, 5 chances created away at Man City, the 1 assist and the 1 goal. How impressed have you been with Conor Gallagher? And is there a possibility you think you could sign him permanently, or is he going back?
The guy's ridiculous. I've not seen a midfielder like it for not ever playing for Palace, without a doubt. He's constant. He's at the edge of your own box. 2 seconds later, he's on the edge of their box. He doesn't put a foot wrong. Judges challenges so well. Gets a lot of yellow cards. I think every one game he's putting that out of yellow card. But he does it in times where he needs to take it. It's really clever. But I've never seen a player all over the field like he is. And then just going forward, he's so good. He's got such a good footballing brain. Don't think he's going to stay. A lot of people get happy when loan players start tapping the badge and showing how much they're loving staying and stuff. But I think his family are massive Chelsea fans. He's been in the Chelsea academy for years. He probably will want to go back to Chelsea and prove his worth. Best scenario I could probably think is that they haven't got any room for him next year and they send him to us back on loan for another year. I'd happily take that. But I think it would probably take 40 to 50 million by the end of the season if they're even just to consider it. And to be honest, I don't think that he would. So it's just about enjoying the time we got with him. Really.
Let's quickly have a look at the likely lineups. Fellow Crystal Palace channel, the 5-year plan, sent us their predicted lineup. Just I'll go through it with yourself as well, see if you've got any differences. You mentioned Elise, and I know we've spoken privately about your disdain for Jordan Ayew.
Yeah.
What's your sort of feelings to that side? Obviously, you went 4-3-3 the majority of this season. Gallagher, Milivojevic, and James McArthur in the midfield. Who should we be looking out for, and where's your weak links?
To be honest, I would have said the 3 weak links that we've had from the start of the season has mostly been on the right-hand side. So you've had Ward, Ayew and Kouyaté. Past few games, to be honest, Ward has been superb, to be fair. He usually gets done with pace. He can't really handle pace that much. So if you've got a tricky left winger, you probably have a field day of him, to be honest. And then just Ayew, really. I don't think Elise is going to start. For some reason, he doesn't like starting him. So I'd probably say it'd be Edwards, Zaha and Ayew. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Benteke, not Edwards, and Zaha gets pushed out on the wing. Depends how defensive your come is. If you're coming with, what's that, a 3-back or a 5-back? It's a 5-back, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So we've got obviously Ryan Ait, Nouri and Hwangi Chan on our left side going up against Joel Ward.
Yeah, he changed it up from Arsenal to Newcastle, have Benteke up front. Because the aim is probably to win the aerial battle because 5 at the back is quite hard to play through. So I reckon Zaha will be on the wing and Benteke will be up front. And it's between Elise and Ayew. It should be Elise, hands down. But I don't know, maybe the injury's come back from, he's not fully recovered. Or I don't know what Ayew's got on him, but he somehow is still playing.
How impressed were you with Vieira's substitution on Saturday to bring on Elise for Kouyaté when it would have been easier to shut up shop?
Oh, the mentality there is just completely like what we've absolutely craved for years. He, I think he's learned from his mistakes because at Arsenal when we was winning, he went 5 at the back, brought on James Tompkins, and then we just invited so much pressure. And at that point, we were still dominating them, so we didn't even need to change a thing really, apart from bring on fresh legs like that. So he's probably learned from the Arsenal game not to sit back, because if you sit back against a team like City, there's absolutely no chance. They're just gonna have 10 shots at goal and at least one of them is going to go in. That's the thing. But I think he's learnt we need to play on the front foot. But it's just a mentality change. It's just that just boosted the fans completely in the ground just to think it's the 80th minute or whatever it was. And he's bringing off a midfielder for an attacker. It's good game management. He saw that they were pushing high up the pitch. They only had 10 players and we had a lot of space every time we picked up the ball. It was near enough 3v2 every time, so he just kind of popped it to 4v2, and that's how we got the second goal. So, no, I trust him. If he wants to put Ayew on, start Ayew, then he's clearly seeing something that I'm not. He's a manager and I'm not. Really? Yep.
I understand that, and I think that regularly to myself in regards to why people listen to this podcast, but people do. Thanks for listening, as always. In regards to your recruitment earlier on in the season, Anderson and Mark Gray at the back, could you really have envisaged them linking up so well?
The link up's really good. I think they complement each other quite well because Anderson's passing is unbelievable. He just pings and it goes wherever he needs to. And his defensive, like his awareness isn't the greatest. But then you've got Guehe, who's absolutely spot on the ground, doesn't get dribbled past, makes every tackle, but couldn't pass it longer than 10 yards. So it's kind of, they both complement each other quite well. I hope they'd be a good pairing, but I didn't think they'd hit the ground running, to be honest. All of the team has hit the ground running this season.
Who from sort of the Wolves predicted lineup? Obviously, this was our lineup against Everton on Monday. Trinco, Jimenez, and Hwangi Chan leading the line. Who, obviously, with Adama on the bench, who's usually the opposition fans' player to be most worried about. Who are you concerned about in that side?
To be honest, it'd be either Jimenez or Hwang. Wouldn't mind Hwang because he's on the bench for the FPL, but you know, push comes to shove. I think Jimenez is just one of them players, you know. He probably is one of them players where every fans go, oh, he doesn't score until he turns up to our place, stuff like that. I don't even know if he has, but it's just, you expect him to score, he probably will score. But probably Jimenez, I'll say, out of all them.
I'm trying to wrap my brain head to think whether Jimenez has scored against Palace since we've returned to the...
If he's had a drought, then most likely...
I know.
Have you got a player in that team that's either never scored a Premier League goal or is on like a 7-year drought? Because they'll be banging in. Usually, is what happens. I don't know when that first goes.
Yeah, you're looking at sort of Nelson Semedo there. Obviously, I think the first season when we got promoted back to the Premier League, Matt Doherty got the winner from a Jimenez assist. I think that was Doherty's first goal in the Premier League. So, I'll drop a fiver on Semedo on the back of your. Comment there, Ben.
I will be as well. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on today, Ben. As always, it's always a pleasure talking to you, even though I gave you some harassment the weekend.
I don't know where it came from.
Ben, honestly, I just thought, oh, this could be call your club toxic. See where he reacts.
But the tweet above it, you said something nice. I was like, I don't know if it was aimed at me or the other guy that was piping up. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just in a funny mood. I had a few to drink and I thought I'll just call Crystal Palace poxy and see how Ben reacts.
Yeah, I was just like crying in the club, mate.
As always, thanks to everyone who's tuned in tonight with your comments, listened, continues to support the Fancast. We'll be back after the Crystal Palace game, hopefully to review a win. But before I let Ben go, what's your score prediction, Ben?
I'm always going to be optimistic, to be honest. Don't think it's going to be a clean sheet. Probably... 1-1, 2-1. I go on the side of 2-1, but I wouldn't be shots for 1-1.
Yeah, I'm sticking with 1-1 myself. I think it's got, obviously, Palace have drew 6 out of their 10 games so far, and Wolves have got a decent, we've got a better away record than we have got at home this season, but
yeah.
I think we came unstuck with Brentford's high press, and I think Palace do play that way, so I think I'm going to go with 1-1. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you after Palace.